this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to continue our study as we have for the last several weeks here out of Matthew chapter number 5 on, of course, the sermon, what's considered the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes that we've been talking about for several weeks now. Certainly Jesus here addressing his disciples, and certainly not only them, but the others certainly that could have been involved as far as he was addressing at this particular time. But as he's left here in the Word of God for us here this morning, and he's talking about using that word blessed, and we know that we've been studying, talking about how what that word means, and certainly in reference to you and I living a happy Christian life. And as I've said many times, certainly there for those that are saved today, we ought to be living the happiest life of anyone else around us today, simply because that we are saved and that God is on the throne and that He is our Savior, and all the promises that He's made certainly to you and I. And so He leaves some things here that certainly we've been talking about. And certainly I hope and pray that they've been a blessing and a help and a challenge certainly to your heart. So if we're going to live a happy Christian life, then I truly believe there's some things that we need to consider. And certainly we need to keep our lives right. And we need to keep sin confessed. And we've talked about those things. But we're going to look at verse number 6 this morning with the help of the Lord. And I want to talk to you today for just a few moments out of this particular verse. I'm going to be the only verse that I'm going to read before you today. I'm going to share several other verses with you throughout the message this morning. But to think about this all, happy are those who hunger. Happy are those who hunger. That probably ought to be the Baptist theme message. Amen. But it's not talking about physical hunger this morning. Certainly, but we know that it's talking about spiritual hunger. And certainly all through these Beatitudes, we've been talking about the spiritual application that the Word of God is trying to make to each and every one of us here through these Beatitudes. So happy are those who hunger. So think about that this morning as we read the verse of Scripture and bring the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart for this hour. Find your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, blessed, or if you wanted to use the word happy, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now let me emphasize that this morning, as Jesus here is emphasizing this in verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then notice the blessing for those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Notice what he says. For they shall be filled. For they shall be filled. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for this day, to thank you for your blessings, to thank you most of all today for your wonderful salvation for all those today that have called upon you. Lord, we thank you for the great salvation in which we so enjoy today. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to be in your house. I thank you for those that have come here this morning to honor you, to worship you, to hear from heaven. And Lord, I thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. I thank you for the wonderful singing. Lord, I thank you for the precious Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray as I stand in this place, I realize that, Father, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. So I pray for fresh oil. Father, I pray that you'd anoint my heart and my mind and my mouth, that I would say those things that, Lord, you placed upon my heart for this service. Then, Lord, I pray as the Word of God goes out, Lord, I pray that our ears and our hearts will be open and attentive to that which you have for us here today. Lord, I truly believe that, Lord, you have something for each of us here this morning if we'll just yield and commit ourselves and surrender ourselves to you and to your Word and to the working of the Holy Spirit. I pray most of all today if there be someone here, and Father, they've never trusted you as a personal Lord and Savior. I pray that, Father, this morning, that, Lord, you would convict them and draw them. Father, this very day, Lord, they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless our time together now. And, Lord, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God for a few moments today. Again, I want to look at the thought here out of verse number 6, chapter number 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. Happy are those who hunger. This morning, if you and I are going to truly be happy in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, and truly not only be happy, but be productive, I believe there must be a genuine desire for the things of God. As we live in this world today, this present world that you and I live in, if not guarded this morning, each of us now, if not guarded, I'm afraid this morning we will deny the things of God and try to fill them with the things of this world. Instead of being a happy and productive Christian, I'm afraid we will become anemic and weak in the spiritual things that God has for each and every one of us here this morning. And just like if we don't eat physical food, then we become weak and anemic this morning. But again, we're looking at the spiritual aspect of our lives. And certainly, again, I'm afraid so many times that is the most neglected area if we're not careful of our lives. And so we need to guard certainly against filling our lives, our spiritual lives, with the things of this world. And this morning we need to consider that and think about that, because Jesus here has given us a promise here now in verse number 6. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so today I tell you, again, the most important relationship that you and I have in this life is that relationship that we have with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that needs to grow and how that needs to mature so that you and I can be what we need to be for Him, and so that others can truly see their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And so today, if we're going to live, again, that productive life, that happy life, then certainly I believe that we must hunger and thirst after righteousness this morning. The word hunger today, as it's used here in the text, it simply means to crave this morning. And certainly it would be my prayer that each of us would crave the righteousness of God, or the things of God, in our own life. Not only does it mean to crave, but it means to toil for daily sustenance. Think about that, to crave and to toil for daily sustenance. Certainly it means fixed. And again, we need to have that spiritual hunger today for the Lord Jesus and the things of God. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture this morning before I give you a couple of thoughts that the Lord's placed upon my heart. Proverbs 19:15, the Bible says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Could I say this morning, I'm afraid too many people, people that truly that have been saved, certainly get slothful in their spiritual life, and again this morning grow anemic and weak. And we see from that verse of Scripture that an idle soul shall suffer hunger. But I'm glad what Jesus said in John chapter number 6 and verse number 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ today, and Him being that living bread today, can certainly be the thing that you and I need to sustain us, to help grow us, and certainly be that spiritual nourishment that each of us need in our Christian walk this morning. Listen, friend, we can't live the Christian life on our own. Friend, you may be here today, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, and the thought that's running through your mind is, "I can't be a Christian. I can't be a Christian." Well, friend, you can't be. But I'm glad this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God and through the power of the working of the Word of God in our hearts and our lives, if we will believe and trust Him, I'm telling you, I'm glad that God can do that work in our hearts and our lives that we can't do for ourselves. I'm glad He is that bread of life. I'm glad this morning, hallelujah, church, that He is my Savior. I'm glad He's the one that I look to. I'm glad He's the one that I can lean upon. I'm glad the one this morning that He, now the world can't feel the desires of my heart, and the world can't feel the desires of your heart. But boy, I'm so glad this morning there's one who can, and His name is Jesus. Our problem is today, as I've already said, how we're letting the junk of this world fill our hearts and our minds. Oh, how we need God. God this morning. How we need to search out the spiritual things and the righteous things of God. I'm telling you, we become satisfied and content with status quo. And God has so much more for His children this morning. Oh, this morning, church, get ready to have revival meeting. I mean, are we really hungering? Are we really thirsting for the things of God? Listen, it's the only thing that will satisfy our hearts. It's the only thing that will satisfy the spiritual man this morning. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else can replace. And I'm so glad that it came. Hallelujah. Ever had a touch of God? Ever had God to breathe on you? I'm telling you what, nothing else, nothing else will satisfy the longing soul like Jesus can. Friend, the world's not going to fill it. The world's not going to quench it. But I'm glad there's one this morning who can, if you'll look to Him today, my friend. Know how we need Him. How we need Him this morning. How we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Jesus has said here. And He's made a promise that we would be filled. Proverbs 19:15 again. And John 6:35, I want you to keep those verses of Scripture in mind. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. I'll give you a couple of thoughts. I'm going to let you go. Could I ask us a question? Or more importantly today, would we allow the Holy Spirit of God to look within the depths of our hearts and our souls today and ask each of us a question here this morning? What are we really hungry for? What are you and I this morning really hungry and thirsty for? I mean, is it more of God that you really are searching for today? Is it really more of God and His Word and His way and His will for our lives that we are really searching for and hungering for and thirsting for this morning? Or are we just satisfied just kind of moving along and floating along and we're just going to get by, preacher? God has so much more for you and I. God has so much more for this church today than just getting by, just growing content and complacent. God has so much more. But friend, the question this morning that, again, we must ask is, what is it that we're really hungry for? If you get hungry at home, the first thing you're going to do is you're either going to go to the cabinet, you're going to go to the refrigerator, or you're going to go to the drive-through window. Amen. I mean, you really get hungry. Now, I truly believe that the most of us have probably been fortunate in our lives that we have never really got to the place that we have really, really been hungry. You need to consider that thought this morning, and I don't have a whole lot of time to stay right here, but I mean that we've really, really been hungry. We've been without food for maybe days. Now, there may have been sickness or something of that nature, and we've not been able to eat, and certainly that's under. But I'm talking about a real hunger, or get real, real thirsty. I mean, been without food or been without water for a significant amount of time. I'm telling you this morning, friend, it's not going to be long till you're going to start hunting for it. You're going to start searching for it. You're going to start longing for it. Can I say this morning, hallelujah, church, that's the way we ought to be in our spiritual lives. We ought to get to the place this morning that we're hungering and desiring and craving the things of God. Listen, there's none of us reached that pinnacle yet. I'm telling you, we need Him today. We need Him more now than we've ever needed Him. Oh, that we can get closer to Him today, that we can have the power and the presence of Almighty God in our lives today. Oh, friend, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness this morning. I'm afraid too many people got too much sin in their life. Oh my. I see you ain't going to get in this thing with me, so I'll just get mean. Hey man. I mean, we're filling our life with everything else. How in the world can we expect God to bless us? How in the world can we expect the power to pray? How in the world can we expect revival when we're not even hungry for it? How can we expect God to do anything? I've never seen a time in my ministry where people are just growing so complacent, doesn't seem to care. Man, how we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. So the question again comes before me this morning and comes before you. What are we hungry for? What are we hungry for? Well, let me give you a couple of things this morning, and I'm going to give you some more verses of Scripture here and let you go. Number one, this morning, I want us to think about, we all need the right kind of appetite. We all need the right kind of appetite, again, for the things of God. In other words, I want to look at it into this, reference into this, that the appetite this morning, or our spiritual appetite, deals with the heart. It deals with our heart, the spiritual man, as I've already said. And so as we think about the appetite, we think about, first of all, the worldly man. The worldly man. What does the worldly man desire? Well, he desires the things of the world. And he fills his life with the things of this world. He has an appetite for it. And what you have an appetite for, you're going to go hunting for. Amen? I mean, if you want an ice cream, you're not going to go to the cabinet to get that. You're going to go to the freezer to get it. Amen? I mean, what you have an appetite for is the things that you're going to search after and that you're going to seek after. God, give us an appetite this morning, not of a worldly man, but give us the appetite of a spiritual man. Hallelujah. Why? Because we need a spiritual appetite. And thank God and partake and nourish ourselves and nourish our spirit on the things of God this morning. Proverbs 23:2. Let me give you this verse of Scripture. There in Proverbs 23:2, and the Bible says, "And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite." Well, I don't see too many people doing that. And then as you continue to study there in Proverbs 23, it's talking about the king's dainties or the worldly man having an appetite for the things of the world. The writer there says in the book of Proverbs that we ought to put a knife to our throat if we have that kind of appetite. In other words today, that's not what's needed to fulfill the spiritual man. And so today, not only do we have Proverbs, but in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 6, and verse number 7, the Bible says, "All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled." In other words today, he keeps, friend, you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep searching, but nothing will fulfill the appetite of your heart and your soul. Hallelujah. But boy, I'm so glad there's something that can and will, as I've already said, and his name is Jesus. Thank God this morning, I'm telling you what. Hallelujah. Before I got saved, I was searching, and I was searching something to fill that longing, something to give me that peace, something that would give me that joy. But friend, I couldn't find it in the things of this world. I'm telling you what, thank God I'm glad one Sunday morning, under the hallelujah, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, I'm glad I made my way to Calvary. And hallelujah, just like Jesus told the woman at the well, "You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again." But friend, he said, he told her, he said, "If you'll drink of this water," referring to himself, he said, "ye shall never thirst again." In other words, only Jesus can fulfill that hunger and that thirst of your soul this morning, my friend. You say, "Well, preacher, if you get saved, you don't need it anymore." Friend, I tell you what, just getting saved is just the beginning. Too many people are satisfied just being saved. Now, being saved is wonderful. Being saved is great. Being saved is the most important step. But God has so much more than just being saved. Let's reference the children of Israel for just a moment this morning. They're down in Egypt. God sends a deliverer down there by the name of Moses. And he sends that deliverer down there to deliver them out from under the bondage of Egypt, out from all the things that were down there in Egypt that were bad. He was going to deliver them and did deliver them and promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this is what I want you to see. God had a much bigger plan and a greater plan than just bringing them out of Egypt. God says, "I want you to be my people, and I want you to look to me as your God. I want you to honor me. I want you to worship me. I want you to serve me. And God says, I'm going to pour out blessings upon blessings. And he did. And we see that they rebelled. They even talked about going back and eating the leeks and the garlics that was down there in Egypt. And God says, I've got something so much better for you. I want to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm telling you, God has blessings. God has blessings that we've not even enjoyed yet, simply because we're not hungry and we're not thirsting after the things of God this morning, my friend. Lord, help us today. God has so much more than just being saved. It's good to be saved. It's great to be saved, and it's important to be saved. But friend, God has so much more. Now, let's think about the worldly man. Let's think about the spiritual man. We need the right kind of appetite as a spiritual man, desiring the things of God. I love Psalms 34 and 8. You're familiar with it, but let me read it. Psalms 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't know how good it is till you taste. I don't know if some of you tasted or not. Psalms 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed. Now, there's that word again. There's that word. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. Thank God for the day I trusted in him. Oh, thank God the day that I tasted of the Lord. Are we hungering and thirsting after the right things? Psalms 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God has a diet. God has nourishment for each and every one of us here this morning if we're just willing to partake of it. You won't grow. You will not grow, you will not prosper without making application of this book in your life. I don't care who you are, I don't care what family you may come from, how long you've been in church, that doesn't make any difference. What is it that we are hungering after? See, because of the things that we nourish our soul with will ultimately determine our growth. I mean, you go without eating for a while and somebody says, well, what's a good diet plan? Well, just don't eat nothing for a while. I mean, America is infatuated with diet programs. Diet pills. Now listen. Nothing wrong with going on a diet and losing weight. I could afford to lose a few myself. I'm not preaching against that. But again, when we make a spiritual application of that, no wonder that so many people that call themselves Christians and they seem to never really enjoy the Christian life that they could be enjoying today simply because that they have grown anemic and weak because they're not nourishing the spiritual man with the right kind of things. And I promise you, if you do not partake and nourish your soul with the things of God, with the Word of God, I'm telling you, you will grow weak and anemic. Yes, you will lose weight. You'll lose spiritual weight. You'll lose spiritual standing. I'm telling you this morning, friend, we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness today. Because ultimately the things that we nourish this body with determines growth. Not only does it determine growth, but it determines our overall health. I mean, just go to the doctor. The first thing they're going to tell you is, if you're overweight, well, you need to cut back and you need to eat this. Or if you've got a health problem, they may put you on a cardiac diet, or they may put you on, if you have diabetes, they'll put you on this diet. I mean, because what we eat determines not only our growth, but it determines our health. No wonder so many people are spiritually unhealthy. I'm afraid we're living in a time people just don't really care. I'm afraid some of you sitting here this morning really not taking into consideration your spiritual well-being. Not only your own spiritual well-being, maybe your spouse's spiritual well-being, your family's spiritual well-being, the spiritual well-being. I mean, are you really concerned about the spiritual well-being of this church? If not, we should be. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The right nourishment will determine not only our growth and our health, but it will also determine our strength, our stability. I mean, you go a few days without food and you're going to get weak. That's the reason if you go to the hospital and you've not been able to eat in a while, they hook you up to IVs to get some fluids going and get you some nourishment going, because you begin to get weak and you get weaker and you get weaker and you get weaker. And you know what happens eventually if you get so weak? You're going to die. Man, Jesus said he came to give me life. And not only did he come to give me life, but he came to give it to me more abundantly. That means I have life on top of life. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us this morning that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness today. Because, again, the nourishment that we take ultimately determines our growth, our health, our strength, our stamina, our spiritual well-being. So we need the right kind of appetite. So, again, I ask us the question today, what is it that you're really hungry for? Some of you saying, well, it's getting awful close to 12 o'clock. I'm getting hungry for a hamburger. I'm getting hungry for a chicken leg. Hey, man, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm supposed to eat chicken. But listen, the furthest thing from my mind right now at this point this morning in this place is what I'm going to eat after the service. My mind and my heart today is on that which God has for me this morning. And that should be your thought as well today. What's God have for me to feed me spiritually this morning that will help me to grow, that will help me to have strength, that will help me to have spiritual health, that I might be everything that I need to be for my sake? Listen, He deserves my very best. He deserves your very best as well. There's the worldly man. His appetite's automatically going to be for the things of the world. What makes a lost man do the things that he does? He's lost. You don't have to tell him. He's automatically going to have an appetite for the things of the world. Well, the saved man, if that be true in the same essence, he ought to have an appetite for the things of God. But if not guarded, we'll begin to desire the things of this world. And the things of this world will never fulfill the spiritual need that we have in our heart and our life. So we need the right kind of appetite. Secondly, and I'm almost done. I've got 3 points, but I'm going to finish up here real quick. Not only should we have the right kind of appetite, but second, we ought to have the right kind of attitude. The appetite deals with the heart. And I mean, we love Jesus, but do we really love Him? If we love Him today, then we're going to bear fruit. We're going to produce fruit, as is taught in the Sunday school lesson. So appetite has to deal with the heart. Attitude has to deal with the mind. Now, sometimes it's hard to get our mind where our heart is already at. You understand what I'm saying? What is it that we're really hungering for? We need not only the right appetite, but we need the right attitude, which, as we said, deals with the mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we get on our minds every day that we need spiritual food, then I promise you, we're going to go find some spiritual food. We get on our minds again, and we get hungry. We're going to the refrigerator. We're going to the cabinet. We're going to the dry. We're going somewhere to get something to eat. And how some people can come to church just once in a while. How some people can pray just once in a while. How some people can partake or nourish their soul with the Word of God just once in a while and feel like everything between them and God's where it needs to be. It's beyond me. We have so much carnality. So much carnality in the world we live in today. We need the right attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We see that Jesus, and I'm going to just give you a couple things here in passing. Jesus had a submissive mind. He had a submissive mind. He was willing to submit to the Father. Whatever the Father wanted, that's the kind of mind. That's the kind of attitude that he had. Not only did he have a submissive mind, but secondly, this morning he had a seeking mind. He's always seeking after the approval. Maybe not so much the approval, but certainly the working of the Father in his life. Man, how we need that today. How we need that. Not to only have a submissive mind, but a seeking mind. But he also had a serving mind. How in the world are we going to be able to serve others, to help disciple others, if we don't first grow spiritually ourselves? It's not going to work. So today, what is it we're really hungry for? We need the right appetite. We need the right attitude. And thirdly, in closing this morning, we have an abundant promise. Notice what he says in verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Notice the promise, the abundant promise, the apparent promise that Jesus himself gives to his disciples, and not only to them, but to you and I this morning. Notice, for they shall be filled. I mean, just get filled up with the righteousness of God. Oh, that's what I need. Oh, that's what you need. That's what this church needs, to get filled up with the things of God this morning. And Jesus has given us an abundant and apparent promise here. They shall be filled. That word filled simply means this, to satisfy. To satisfy. Aren't you glad that God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus, through His Word, through the working of the Holy Spirit, can satisfy our hearts, our minds, our souls, and give us that peace that passes all understanding today? Oh, what we need is more of Him and less of us. Oh, help us. Help us, Lord, today to consider, what is it that I really hunger and thirst after? The word righteousness, as it's used here in verse number 6, it means innocent. It means holy. It means right. It means just. And then it comes from a word that means to be free from judgment or punishment. Y'all hearing me? We all going to stand before Him one day. Prepared or unprepared, you're going to stand before the great I Am. And it's not my righteousness that's going to get the job done. But hallelujah, I'm glad that there's been a righteousness that's been imputed to me. Hallelujah, and it is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Thank God. I'm telling you, I'm going to stand one day and give an account of the things which I've done in my body since I've been saved, whether it be good or bad. But I'm telling you what, thank God, I'm glad that I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to go to hell because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being imputed to me, His righteousness. Hallelujah. What a trade. What a trade. What a trade. My sin for His righteousness. But then also, when you think about it in the context of the Scripture here this morning, and the thought, that means if I live... Now, I understand we're all going to fail, we're all going to mess up, but too many times we use that for a crutch. We want to prop ourselves up oh, well, God is loving and God is forgiving and God will forgive me. And yes, he will, and thank God he will. But friend, the closer that we'll walk to him, the closer that we'll stay to the cross, I'm telling you, the more the righteousness of Christ that you and I will live out through our life, I'm telling you, the more that you get to know about him, the more that you want to be like him. And I think that's what some people's afraid of. Well, preacher, I don't want to be considered no holy roller. Well, praise God, I'd rather be considered a holy roller than a hypocrite. Hey, man. Whoop, hallelujah. Man, we need his righteousness. If I'm going to live right, if I'm going to do right, if I'm going to walk right, if I'm going to talk right, I need the hand of God. I'm going to have to grow in the things of God so I know where God wants me to go. How God wants me to act. What God wants me to do. Because, again, what we nourish ourselves with determines our growth, our health, our strength, our stability. What about when the storm comes? Oh, and it's coming. It's coming. If you're spiritually malnourished, if you're not careful, instead of looking to God, you begin to blame him. What is it that you're really hungering for today? Righteousness. Innocent, holy, right, just. Comes from a word that means to flee from judgment or punishment. You know what Jesus is saying? If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll stay out of a whole lot of trouble. Amen. So let me ask you again. What is it that we are really hungering and thirsting after or for? Do we really have the right kind of appetite? The only way you're going to have the right kind of appetite is, first of all, you've got to know Christ as Savior. And then there's got to be a desire and a motivation in your heart to want to nourish yourself with the things of God. You've got to have the right kind of attitude, the right kind of mindset. A mindset that is willing to seek after and be submissive and obedient to the things of God. And then there's an abundant promise. Ye shall be filled. And if we're filled with his righteousness, we don't have room for much foolishness. One more question I'm going to ask us, and I'm closing. Are we more interested in being entertained or more interested in being fed? Are we more interested in being entertained or are we more interested in being fed? I'm afraid many people come to church In some ways, in some forms and fashion, just as entertainment. I'm not here to entertain you. The choir's not here to entertain you. Your Sunday school teacher don't sit up and study the Word of God to entertain you. We don't have revival meetings to entertain folks. Preacher, you sure ain't going to fill up no pews like that? Well, so be it. People today are more interested in being entertained than they are being fed. Whether it be feeding themselves or whether they're letting the preacher or the musicians or the singers or the Sunday school teacher feed them from the Word of God. I'm afraid that's one of the reasons some of our newfangled churches are packing out the pews. And listen, if they're preaching the gospel, hallelujah, people being really saved, I say hallelujah, glory to God. But I'm afraid that many are going to be entertained. Make me feel good, preacher. I'm telling you, there's times when I get in, hey, broccoli? Ah. Who likes broccoli? I see two or three hands. If you get them down real quick, I understand. But what we like sometimes ain't necessarily what's the best for us. My understanding is something that's real good for you if you can get it down. Sometimes, Miss Joe, in teaching and preaching the Word of God, and even in our personal study, sometimes God's just going to come across and, man, we just don't like that. Kind of like some of you this morning. Preacher, how do you know? I just tell by looking at your face. It's kind of like eating broccoli. But it'd be good for us. It'll help us. It'll nourish us. It'll help us to grow. It'll help to strengthen us. Man, there's so many people today, just the least little bit of thing gets people from sideways. Some of you may be like that this morning, but bless your little pea-picking heart. You ought to grow up. Hey, man. We ought to grow up. And the only way we're going to grow up is nourish ourselves right. Half the time people get mad, don't even know what to get mad over. Leave this church and go somewhere else. Bless God, I'll just go somewhere else. I'll get my entertainment somewhere else. Well, friend, if you're coming for entertainment, you might as well. We're here to minister. To preach the Word of God so that men, women, boys, and girls can be saved from an awful place called hell. Amen. So that we can grow and be nourished in the things of God so that we can be strengthened, hallelujah, to fight Satan. I realize we can't fight him alone, but listen, we're going to have to fight so we can stand on the front lines, hallelujah, and praise God and worship God and get the Word of God out, because that's what this world needs. There's plenty of entertainment. Good people, saved people. If we don't guard, we'll be more interested in being entertained than we will be fed, being fed from the Word of God. I don't want to get to that place. Listen, there's nothing wrong with good entertainment in its place and its time. But when it comes to ministry, it needs to be ministry and not entertainment. What are you hungry for today? What is it that you need today? Are you growing in the things of the Lord today? Do you even have a desire to want to grow? Are you healthy spiritually today? The only way you're going to be spiritually healthy is a good dose of the Word of God. Are you strengthened for the storm that's coming your way? Preacher, everything's going good right now. The storm's coming. I believe I can hear it blowing just over the hill. Every week, just about every week, I deal with someone that's facing another storm. And friend, it won't be long till it comes your turn. When you get the word of cancer. When you get the word of a broken home. You're going to need something to get you through. What are you hungry for? Lord, help us. We need revival. Dear God in heaven, we need revival. This church needs revival. I've been here, this is my eighth year, and I'll be honest with you, we're in much in need of revival right now as we've ever been. There's so much junk going on and so many things happening. I mean, I can't even keep up with it no more. You know what the cure for that is? A good old heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. But it won't come unless we get hungry for it. Because he said if we'd hunger and thirst after righteousness, what did he say? What did he say? Some of you still ain't get it, so let's go one more time. What did he say?
We shall.
So it seems to me like it's up to us. God is, if you're here today lost, I want you to know something. He's standing ready and waiting and willing to take you in, to save you. And here's Christians today, if we really want revival, if we really want God to do something in our own hearts, in our own lives, then we got to seek Him for it. Let's stand on our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, you come. Every head bowed, every eye closed as they come this morning to the instruments. Brother Scotty comes with a song of invitation. What is it that you're hungering and thirsting for? What is it that you're craving, that you're seeking after? That word hunger, as we said, is it has the reference of seeking daily sustenance. Listen, if one time a week is all that you're seeking after any spiritual help, then friend, we're anemic and we're weak. Father, we love you today. We thank you for loving us. Lord, I know this has not been a swing from the chandelier kind of service. But Lord, it don't have to be that kind of service. Lord, it could be. But Lord, sometimes we just go through different seasons and different things, and even in our own spiritual lives, in our church life. And Lord, I just pray right now that you'll take the few simple words that I've tried to bring this morning before this congregation, as well as unto myself, that we must ask ourselves, are we really hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Or are we more worried about being entertained? Or do we really want something from you? Do we really want revival? Well, Lord, I pray that we would, because, Lord, we sure do need you. People dying and perishing all around us today. Lord, somebody needs to be concerned. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to pray. Lord, help us that we might nourish ourselves upon your righteousness, your word. Lord, I pray if there be somebody here today lost, that today would be the day that, Lord, they truly see their need of salvation. Just as if we never saw our need of food, we'd never eat. And Lord, if that individual here today never sees their need of a Savior, they'll never be saved. Father, I pray you'd show them that need today. Show it to them right now. And then as Christians today, Lord, help us to search our own hearts and help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness that we might be filled with the right kind of things. Lord, I love you. I love this people. I thank you for them. And I pray you'll use this invitation right now as they play softly. Before we begin to sing, every head bowed, every eye closed, if God spoke to your heart.